The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
If you've read Romans chapter 7, you'll agree that Paul was speaking of a struggle. But was the struggle he's describing about himself before he was a believer, or since he's become a believer? A great question. We'll tackle it today on Grace in Focus. Thank you for listening today. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We're located in North Texas, and you can know more about us by going to our website, faithalone.org. You can also find the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel and watch our short videos produced two or three times a week. But once again, our website is faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and David Renfro.
Well, David, I think you have a good question there from my namesake, Robert.
Robert, or Robert.
Robert. John Payar used to call me.
Robert.
Yeah.
My French is horrible.
Yes, I can tell.
I tried to speak it when I was over there, and I think I set that civilization back several decades.
Yeah, parlez-vous Frenchy?
Parlez-vous Francy? All right, here's what Robert says. He says, he wrote, the email is concerning the difference between faith and repentance. And then he mentions in Romans chapter 7, is Paul, the Apostle Paul, dealing with faith or repentance in that chapter?
Okay, that's a good question, David. And as a backdrop, everybody recognizes that in the second half of that chapter, Romans 7, 13 to 25, Paul is talking about himself. It's autobiographical.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, among commentators and pastors and theologians, is Paul talking about himself before he was born again or after he was born again? Is he talking about a believer who's struggling with sin or an unbeliever struggling with sin?
Interesting.
The best answer is that Paul is clearly talking about himself as a believer who is struggling with sin. Look at Romans 7, the second half of the chapter. He says, has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. And he goes on to say in verse 20, for if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on to say then, in verse 22, for I delight in the law of God according to the inner man. That's not true of the unbeliever.
No.
The unbeliever doesn't have an inner man that is regenerate and delights to do the law of God.
Right.
And he's saying at the end of the chapter, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Or Zane Hodges likes to translate this, mortal body. Who will deliver me from this mortal body? Mm-hmm. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he says, so then, with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And he goes on in Romans chapter 8 to say that we need to be spiritually minded, mm-hmm. that's life and peace. And to be carnally minded is death. Isn't that verse 6? Yeah. Mm-hmm. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So Romans 8 is explaining the second half of Romans 7.
Right.
And basically what Paul's talking about in the second half of Romans 7 is there was a time early in his Christian life when he became distracted from looking to Jesus and started looking to the commandments for his sanctification.
In a sense, he went back to his Old Testament law ways,
right. You know,
because that's where he came from.
Right.
It's like what a lot of people do, I think, is they become a believer, but some of the stuff that they used to worship, they kind of incorporate in their new worship.
We see that, right, in contemplative spirituality.
That's one of the newest ways we see it. That's been the problem, I think, with the Corinthian church in Paul's day. That's why Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. Wasn't Corinth a center of mystical pagan worship of several gods and goddesses?
Well, I think they did have some of that. Of course, wasn't Ephesus Diana, I think? And
yeah.
Of course, in Colossae, they had multiple different philosophies,
right.
Including Jewish legalism, but Oriental mysticism and some kind of Greek philosophy, asceticism, or
sure.
Whatever. But in terms of Corinthians, yeah, I'm not sure exactly what pagan temples
well, there
they
was
had.
A, I
but
know
they
there
did
was
have one. Yeah.
There was one temple to Isis.
Okay.
That I know. But I've gotten the idea over time, over my studies, that Isis was just one of them.
So, not like Isis today.
No. It's a whole different thing. And what the Corinthian believers did is what, unfortunately, a lot of people do in our culture, is they bring in some practices and maybe a few little offshoot beliefs and incorporate it and mesh it with the Christian doctrine, and they come out with some weird combination of stuff.
In 1 Corinthians 6, he says, you're going to temple prostitutes.
Yeah.
Well, these were pagan temples where they had prostitutes, and you could worship the pagan deity by having sex with a prostitute in the temple.
And I'm wondering...
I mean, this sounds nuts, but this happens today.
Sure.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
I mean, I remember when I first came to faith in Christ in 1972, I started sharing my faith on campus at UC Irvine. And one of the guys I shared my faith with gave me some booklet to read. And I read through what he had, and it was all about, I think he was Baha'i. And it was all about the fact that as you had sex with a woman, you could be thinking about the prophets and you could be worshiping God while you were having sexual relations. And I was like, what kind of lunacy is this? I went back to follow up with the guy because he had supposedly received Christ as his Savior. And he said, oh, no, I read the follow-up material you gave me. And he said, I'm Baha'i. And he said, I want all the prophets in my life, so I wanted to receive Jesus, but I don't believe Jesus is the only way to God or that Jesus is God. He's just one of the prophets. And I was like, what? But yeah, in Romans 7, what evidently happened with Paul was that instead of focusing on Christ, he started focusing on the commandments. And right. What he found is when he focused on the commandments, it produced sin. And I would argue that among the Old Testament saints, although you're right, of course, Paul came out of a legalistic Jewish background that misinterpreted the Old Testament.
Sure.
But a true understanding of the Old Testament would have been like Paul's point here, because David was a man after God's own heart. Mm-hmm. Abraham was a friend of God. I believe those people did not look to the commandments for their sanctification. I believe they looked to the Messiah for their sanctification. And as a result, that's why they had a heart. They were a man after God's own heart, or that's why they were friends of God.
Right.
It's because they had the right attitude. But Paul got the wrong attitude, but he explains it in chapter 8.
Right.
So coming back to Robert's question, is it faith or works in Romans 7, 13 to 25? Well, guess what? Neither word appears. But now in terms of the concept, if I had to argue, I would say the issue in Romans 7, 13 to 25 is we need to have the proper mindset. We need to have the mind of Christ. We need to be spiritually minded. That's what he says. So if you had to pick one word, faith or repentance, weren't those the two words he used,
or repentance? What's the difference between faith and repentance?
I would say that the issue here is the walk of faith. Some people call it the faith walk or walking in the Spirit or walking in the light. This is like what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 2:14 to 3:3. The carnal man is the man who is legalistic.
Mm-hmm.
The spiritually minded man is the one who is not. So that, you know, it's kind of like children. If I'm told if children are, let's say, playing near a light switch, the way to do it is not give them the commandment, don't touch the light switch, because that's going to motivate them to touch the light
that's
switch.
More reason to do it.
What you do is you distract them and get them thinking properly. You get them thinking about something else. Here, look at this shiny thing I've got over here.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same way, in the Christian life, we fall in love with Jesus. And as we fall in love with the commander and keep our focus on the commander, we end up obeying his commands.
Mm-hmm.
But if we focus on the commands rather than the commander, it doesn't work.
Well, I know in the Old Testament that, especially with some of the minor prophets, Micah comes to mind.
Yeah.
The people were going through all of the rituals of the Old Testament law, thinking that that was going to force the Lord to prosper them, and, you know, but their heart wasn't in the right place.
Now, what is Micah the one that has, I desire mercy rather than sacrifice? Mm-hmm. Is that in Micah?
Yeah, and what I love is Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. I won't quote it here, but it just, yeah. I think those are verses that everybody, every believer needs to. He has told you, oh man, what to do.
Yeah.
You know, and then he goes on from there, like, you already know what to do, and what it is not follow the commandments, but your mind is completely selfish. You're doing it for yourself. You're trying to convince the Lord to bless you. Oh, Lord, I'm doing all this stuff. You know, but your whole perspective is about, what about me?
Right. And, of course, isn't that a lot of what the Lord had to contend with in Israel in
Absolutely.
The first century?
I think that's a large part of the human nature.
Well, it seems to me when we share our faith with people, we often find people seeking, like the Pharisee in Luke 18, 9 to 14,
right.
seeking to justify themselves.
Right. I agree.
I'm better than this publican over here.
Well, I mean, that's part of paganism. Why did people go to the temple, and why would people go to do the prostitution? Well, first of all, they're imitating what the gods, the Greek gods and Roman gods did. You know,
yeah, because the gods were very immoral, too, right?
Oh, absolutely. And what's the highest form of flattery?
Imitation.
Imitation. And they were trying to get those gods' blessings upon them. And once again, it's all about them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And some of that pagan concept has seeped into the church, that if we just follow these laws and, you know, forcing us to concentrate on those laws rather than our relationship with the Lord, we're going to be in deep, serious trouble.
That's a good point. It's not all about us. It's all about Him.
Absolutely.
And as we focus on Him and we fall more in love with Him, then we find ourselves being spiritually minded, and then we reap the life and peace that Paul talks about in Romans 8:6.
Yeah, this discussion that we're having right now reminds me of something that Howard Hendricks said one time.
What's that?
I loved what he said. He said, the genius of Christianity is to deliver you from yourself.
That's good. That's
and he's
good.
Absolutely right.
And that's a key to keeping grace
in focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. On the next episode, were Cain and Abel, brothers and sons of Adam and Eve, regenerate people? Were they saved? Join us next time, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.